Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, brother B?
What's going on? What's up, everybody? What's up? Another episode of The Menu. On Blog Talk Radio. The Menu. Maybe I should come on like that more. He's like, yo, like, The Menu on Blog Talk
Radio. The Menu.
That would have to be after midnight.
After midnight? After midnight voice. Hey, this is Brother B. This is The Menu. Blog Talk
Radio.
Big Red and Brother B. Yo, what up, everybody? It's Big Red in the house, Brother B in the house, Blog Talk Radio. The Menu. What up? How y'all doing? How you doing, Red? What's going on?
Still in pain, but I'll be all right.
You all right? You messed up your sacroiliac?
Yeah, that's exactly the sacroiliac. Haberdashery and everything else. Haberdashery.
Haberdashery. Listen, you gotta be careful, man. You know, I mean, he ain't no spring chicken no more. You know,
you can't be dropping
it like it's hot like that, man. Drop it like it's lukewarm, but maybe not hot.
Yep,
a little warm.
Sad warm.
Yeah, exactly. You can't drop it. You gotta put it down. Yeah. You don't drop it.
That's what I told you. You gotta be the hot. What was it? What I said? The hot grandma. Hot grandma summer,
yeah.
Hot girl summer, gotta be hot grandma summer.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. Gotta be careful with that, man. Real talk. But yeah, man. Well, you know, I hope you feel better. You know, and
Thank you.
Like Hulk Hogan used to say, you gotta take your vitamins. And eat your vegetables.
That's spinach.
Make sure you good. Yeah, that was a daggone lie.
Eat your spinach. What was Popeye talking about?
Spinach. Well, first of all, Popeye, listen, I'm still trying to figure out how chicken, like Popeye's, make chicken. I don't understand. Like, he's a sailor. Like, I can understand fish, a fish market or a fish brand would pop up with chicken. And I ain't never watched any episode of Popeye. He was eating chicken. He was always eating spinach.
That's what I want to know.
I never seen you know. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you know.
I mean, like
churches,
you can understand churches. Now, remember when churches was here in New York at one time?
Oh yeah.
Because that came out before Popeyes even came out. So it's like churches, you can understand, because you know, it tasted like that church, you know, like that church chicken, like the chicken you got from the church, you know.
Yeah.
Cooking that stuff up. But Popeyes is like, okay, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he's a sailor. Like, he know about chicken.
Yeah, like
fish.
He don't know about
fish,
shrimp
yeah.
and crabs and stuff like that.
Yeah, but he was hard. But you know, when you watch the cartoons, he was hardly on the sea either. He was hardly in the water. He
right.
was always on land, fighting Bluto for that skin.
Fighting Bluto over
Turbulent relationship. It was turbulent. But yeah, man, I am, you know, just trying to get through the rest of this week, man. Even though, like, it just started. Like, you ever just felt the need that you just need to put the pause button on life sometimes. Just hit the pause or the snooze button. But there's no button to be pushed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just trying to, you know.
Yeah, time machine like that song. Yeah.
Yeah,
I wish.
But, you know, once again, what up, everybody? Another episode of The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. Big Red Brother B in the house. Guest calling numbers 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. And you can catch us on Facebook, The Menu, Mind Your Mental, MindURMENTAL. You know, you hit us up, man. Little message, show topics, just say hi. You know what I'm saying? Because it's on Instagram. Yeah, exactly. Howdy. It's up on Instagram at The Menu, Mind Your Mental, MindURMENTAL. Same thing. It's always the Mind Your Mental, MindUR, not YOUR. You are. Yeah, man. So, I know why you came up with tonight's topic. So I'm going to let you set it off and, speak your piece on it. I'll let you set this one off. Tonight's topic is about co-parenting. Now,
right.
I didn't think too much of it, the subject being dramatic, but you know, Hot Rod of the Absolute Truth Show, Monday night, 10 p.m., Sean Black, K-Dog, Hot Rod, Vroom Vroom. I threw it, Hot Rod, and Hot Rod was like, ooh, like that was going to be like a hot topic. I was like, I didn't really think so, but I guess it really depends on who's listening or actually people's emotional stance on it, because you know a lot of people get in their feelings when it comes down to certain topics and certain things. So I will take a step back and let you what was the reason for this topic, Ray? What say you? Why?
Co-parenting, you know, I feel that it's something that should be like a compromise. Like, I don't understand why it's so hard for either parties, whether it's the mother or the father, you know, either party, to do a lot of extra stuff. And it's like you're not making it about the children. And that's what disturbs me a lot of times when you see situations or you see things happening and, you know, like I said, one party or the other, you know, we're not going to just pinpoint, but I mean, I'm sure at one point we will. It's either party. Like I said, it's a thing of why isn't anyone taking account of the child? That's what co-parenting is supposed to be about. It's not about, okay, yes, we have a child in common. That's fine.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that. Okay, at one time, I think, like I said, either party, you know, it's like, to me, it's like you don't want to let go, or it's like you try to set boundaries either side, you try to set the boundaries, and the other party is not like, you're not getting it. Just because we have a child in common doesn't mean you overstep your boundary with me. Your child is different. So then my thing is, what your action is the reason why I may react a certain way to you. Now, I'm going to give you an example. When I was in the cab, I think it was Saturday, the cab driver, he was saying that he has a 9-year-old daughter. So he claimed that he... Now, I don't know the relationship. I don't know the nature of the relationship with the mother of his child. I'm kind of just speculating off of what he was saying. But to me, he had said that something about he had got off of work at a certain time. He said he buys, you know, buys his daughter this, that, and other, whatever, whatever. So he says he buys stuff like in a lump sum, so this way he could just take it to the mother when, you know, so he can, you know, give her whatever she needs, clothing or whatever. So he claimed that he had called her up, called the mother up and told her, listen, I'm going to be here by a certain time because I have to work later on or whatever. Okay. So he claimed when he got there, oh, she didn't pick up the phone or she didn't answer the door, whatever. Now, he said, oh, well, I started banging on the door and she told me she was going to be up at a certain time and she don't work and she don't this and then da da da. He's just going on and letting him talk or whatever. So, like I said, I'm only gathering from what I'm hearing. I don't know this man personally. So I'm saying to myself, now, if your daughter is 9 years old, it's no need for you to even go extra and do all of that. Because if the child's 9 years old and know that you're coming to house that money, whether she's up or not, that shouldn't even matter. So this is what I mean by, because we are co-parenting and we're together, not together, whatever the case is, it's unnecessary to do all of that. Because if that child is 9 and knows that you're coming, then she should be able to open up that door and say, hey, Dad, whatever, bring her whatever and, you know, keep it moving. Whatever it is you do, you know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with me.
Well, so, I think Mr. Joe, when you're done, I think Mr. Joe got something opposite to say to that.
Not a problem, of course. So,
no, I don't. Hey, brother,
hey,
me.
Mr. Joe.
Hey, what's up? Hey, yeah. How are you guys doing? All right.
So, you know, to me, that was like, and then he started, okay, then a little, you know, as he was talking, he was driving, he says, he was talking about, oh, he's going to go back to being, not go back, he said he's going to start, like, driving his truck. He said he liked driving trucks or whatever on the road. And he said, oh, I'm going to go down to Georgia, and I love them women in Georgia, and I'm going to get me a woman. So now while he's saying all of that, oh, I'm going to get me a woman, and I'm going to make her feel a certain way. So now he's talking about the mother of the child. So now this is what I'm saying. If you guys are not together, why, like, you saying all that, like, once again, don't try to impress me with all of that, but it's, what are you doing all of that for? So if we are co-parenting, that has nothing to do with the child. So that means you and that person either on some, you know, maybe, you know, she plays that game with him too, but you have a lot of women or men where we don't play that type of game. It's about the child. I'm not worried about what you do and what you don't do and who you bring around. As long as they're not hurting or harming my kid, I don't care about that. So this is what I mean by co-parenting. It's rules to it. And either party, it's like, you know, just stick to the rules and then things can go smooth. But then when you start doing other stuff, that's when things become a friction.
Well, because once again, people are still calling their feelings.
Absolutely.
That's the thing.
It's just like,
if you can't,
get out your
feelings. You can't effectively or properly co-parent when people are still emotionally, you know, split in their relationship with one another. It affects the parenting. You know, it jades the view of things, because then some people want to be petty betties and get back at each other. And some people want to use the kid, as, you know, I have experienced. They want to use the kid and put the kid in the middle of it, and either turn the kid against the other parent or just, you know, use the kid as, you know, a pawn, you know, in their little game. I mean, what do you think, Mr. Joe? What do you think about the whole, co-parenting thing?
Well, what you just finished saying, I happen to agree with. I've never been burdened with a co-parenting, because I've never been married. I never thought of marriage as a worthwhile institution, having seen that nobody in my family or my friends absolutely had a good marriage. They had long-lasting marriages, but they weren't good. You know, they weren't really happy. The guy would be upstairs, his wife would be downstairs, and vice versa, and, you know, they would say hello in the morning and goodbye at night, and that would be about it. But the responsibilities of co-parenting, they're awesome, and they have to be taken seriously. But you're right, because This is one fulcrum which women use in order to leverage the court system after the ex. Now, if both parents break up amicably, then the child isn't going to suffer. And the child should be paramount. Excuse me. But if you're going to use the child, you know, as a club against your ex, the child suffers. The man, who's usually the recipient of the legal beating, he suffers. And the woman is just full of petty revenge. Instead of trying to make the relationship work post-marriage for the sake of the child. Now, of course, there are some men who act that way. But for the vast majority of petty aggressors are the females against the males. And it's just a sad situation. Children suffer, and they shouldn't suffer. But people play these stupid political games. So to me, it's all stupid.
I mean, all right. I can only speak. Hey, what's up, Miss Cherry? How y'all doing? How you doing, Miss Cherry?
I'm
doing?
Hello. Hi,
guys. Hey, Cherry.
I'm chiming in, so I got to catch up on what you're talking about.
All right, well, I'm about to lay down some carpet.
Of course.
I'm about to lay down some carpet. All right, in my experience, me and my kid's mother, it didn't work in terms of relationship. Cool, no problem. I think at one point she had a problem with the fact that I was just like, I wasn't going to fight you. If the relationship is over, it's over. She, however, moved on and had her little guy she was seeing or whatever. And I had no problem with that. My whole thing is just like, don't deny me my kid. So I guess maybe because I didn't have a problem with the fact that she's moved on and I was just cool. I was like, listen, I'm just going to live my life and do what I have to do and focus on me and my child. I don't know. I don't know what type of issues that she had. Now, I know prior to her becoming a cop, her attitude was a little different. But then she got a badge and, things just started to change. And all I could do is just tell myself, hey, listen, just be there for your kid and do what you got to do. Fast forward some years later, a couple of visits to family court, things just got real nasty. And the whole thing is, what's the purpose of dragging me knowing that we have a child in common? What affects me affects the child. So if you're trying to get me to, if you're trying to disrupt my financial flow, that's not just disrupting me, but that's disrupting the child when she's with me. You know what I'm saying? If I don't have, how am I supposed to give to her? But at that time, I guess it was all about what she wanted and how she wanted it, whatever. It was a very unfair situation for a while. A lot of lies told in court, a lot of court dates, and I was just like, for what? Because once again, I'm trying to co-parent. Like, I have nothing against her. Now, matter of fact, let me pull that back. I did have something against her. The thing I had against her was her trying to take away my ability to be a father. That was the problem that I had. The little boyfriends that she had, she would, you can call him daddy. And my daughter she was young at the time. I was like, no, that's not my dad. And actually her other son's father, me and him are actually cool. And he used to tell me how she, would be like, yo, I'm not her father. She has a father that comes around a lot. So why are you trying to, manipulate the kid into calling me that? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's things like that. It's like, what's the purpose of that? Like, you want to, if you're mad at me, be mad at me. But don't put the kid in the middle of it. Don't use the kid as a pawn. Don't try to twist the kid up or have the kid thinking that, I'm not the good dad. Why? Because you're messing with my pockets? So you're trying to take away my ability to do certain things financially for my kid, so that way my kid what's going to look at me as less of a dad.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, when it comes down to these young kids, listen, they're going to look at their mother or their father as superheroes, you know what I'm saying, no matter what. Sometimes it's that little bit that goes a long way. But I think it's a very disgusting thing, whether it's the mother or the father, to actually bring the kid into your bullshit. Once again, if you're mad at me, be mad at me. But don't do something to the point where it's going to be, you know, where it's going to affect the kid. Because I would say, like I've said before, and I'll say again, one of the hardest things, questions that I had to ask, answer from my daughter when we were going through all of this court shit, and I think she was about 6 years old, and she said, why does everybody hate you? Why does mommy hate you? And I'm like, this is coming from a six-year-old, which it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, no, your mother doesn't hate me. It's just that, you know, we just have some issues. You know, and all she could say to me was, you know, I don't hate you, Daddy. I love you. And that gave me a big amount of strength to keep in the fight, you know, as she was trying to, like, weed me out of her life, which I've never left. I've took a lot of blows to continue to be here, and I'm still here. I'm always going to be here because she didn't ask to be here. But a lot of people just don't even give a damn about that fact. That kid didn't ask to be here. So you owe it to that kid to do the right thing, whether you like each other or not. You know, I mean, it gets nasty. It really gets nasty. And
absolutely.
It's a shame that it gets nasty to the point where, once again, this child is seeing this. And then you, and it's like it kind of forces the child to take sides. And you don't want your kid to do that. Your kid never wants, you should never put your kid in a position to take sides. Never. Because that's a very confusing thing. And later on in life, it manifests itself, it could possibly manifest itself into something else. You know, I'm lucky that it didn't. You know, but, you know, everybody has their own story. But what's up, Ms. Trey? What's your piece on this? What you got to say about this? You were talking about co-parenting.
Oh, good Lord. I don't want to say much because I think it's going to be personalized. And I think your situation is subjective. So until I'm able to hear both sides, I really can't weigh in on your personal story.
How can mine be subjective?
You're telling us from your point of view. So in my life, I've always heard that there are three sides to every story. It's one person,
okay,
the other person, and somewhere in the middle is the truth. So we're just hearing your side. So I'm not going to weigh in on that because I don't think you want me to. But I would talk about...
Listen, you can pick the weights up on whatever you want
to. Oh, you don't want it. You don't want it.
Oh, my God.
So,
Listen. You know what? Put it like this. Not to cut across. Before you do say anything. You have someone else. There's someone else on this forum right now that can actually attest. Because I was actually sleeping on her floor. At one point. I was actually sleeping on her floor, thanks to the family court system and my kid's mom. So you can say, when it comes down to it being subjective, it's not even, when it comes down to things like this, it's not about a his or her truth. It's about the facts. It's about it is what it is. It's about what happened. There's like, experience is experience.
Let me just say, the things you're saying, actual events, may be accurate, right? So you slept on somebody's floor, you was having problems making child support, you're in and out the court. Those are facts, but the reason why they happen from your point of view. And I'm just going to use myself as an example, not too much of myself. I, single mom, decided to co-parent. And it sounded very difficult because at a certain point, I realized that it wasn't really about co-parenting. It was trying to control me through my son. You know, I've never denied my son the ability to go meet his father or spend time with his father, but I felt like when my son would spend time with his father, It was more about making me uncomfortable. It was more about finding out what was in my household. He would not see his son for a while and then just show up at my house and expect to see him. And if I said no, then I'm denying him the right to see his kid. So a lot of times, like I said, why it's subjective is if I was dealing with you, you would say, well, I came to go see my kid. He wouldn't let me go see him. I'm thinking, you just don't show up at my house like this. No one does. I demand. I also am entitled to the respect of getting a phone call for you saying, look, I'd like to, you know, see your son, Mr. Especially if we're not on schedule. If we're not, you know, through the court system with visitation and stuff, you don't have that right. You don't have that right to tell me who I can date, what I should be doing with the child support. None of that. I think that's why I say subjective. Any parent that feels like they want that much say should be the custodial parent. If you want to control where the money goes and what your child is doing and, you know, what school they go to, then they need to take on that major role. Can't be, you know, the parent that just writes the check and, you know, comes and visits occasionally. They have to be willing to step up and take on that major role of custodial. When the child is sick, who are they calling? You. When someone's hurt, who are they calling? You. There'll be job opportunities you can't get because your job sees you as not being reliable. Know that at any point, if there's an emergency, it's going to be family first. And I think just in general, we feel that the men get taken advantage of in the courts. You also have to see who's really raising the kids at the house. Is that person picking up that phone call? Who is, you know, you can tell. If there's a problem at school, most men are not getting dialed at work to come get their kids. They're calling the woman, calling the mother. I just think that's something that, you know, that needs to be addressed when you do talk about co-parenting. I don't want to talk on your specific situation.
Well, check this out. So we live in New York. We live in New York. And New York is a pro-woman state. I've learned that. It's a pro-woman state. It's a pro-women state, and I've never had a problem with that until until family court. Never had a problem with it until family court, because family court is very biased. See, the whole thing is this: my experiences and the things that have happened. See, the sad part is when people run to court, and 9 times out of 10, sad to say, it is women that run the family court. And it's not to say that men don't, but it's a lot of women that run the family court, and some of them, not all, but some of them use the family court system to enact some type of revenge or some type of, you know, oh, you don't want me, well, I'm going to do this to you and do that to you, to inflict some type of financial or emotional harm on men because they're not getting what they want. And the court system usually goes with it.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. If you look up who created the child support enforcement system, I believe I keep forgetting his name. Was it Lyndon B. Johnson? Was it Johnson? I forgot. I got to look up his name again. But it was one of these presidents because basically he was a child of divorce, and I guess his father crapped on his mother and. He got older, he got into a political position, and he did something about it. And it created a system to go after deadbeat dads. But those are deadbeat dads. There are dads that want to be in their kids' lives, and it's either the mother. That's not to say that there are men that don't run from their responsibilities, but I'm not talking about the deadbeat. I'm talking about the fathers that actually want to be in their kids' lives. Yeah.
Brother, I didn't mean to cut you off. I think it was set up by Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford.
President Gerald Ford, 1975.
Yep. He set it up because he was a child of divorce. And he took it some type of way because he saw his mother going through it. And he said, damn it, that's not going to happen to her or anybody else ever again. And bang, this is what we have. So this wasn't created out of some... you know, duty. This was because somebody was mad that this was done to his mom. So,
but that's the thing.
Exactly.
He was vengeful. Like, I mean, I understand. I didn't even cut you off. I understand that he might have did it because he didn't want, or he seen his mother struggle or whatever. But it's like, it's been taken, like, it took off in another direction, especially now in this day and age. You understand what I'm saying? Remember, that was 1965. We in 2022, you know, 22 now. It's like, so different thing.
I just say this, let's be for real. In co-parenting, court system is not set up for the average parent. Don't see the majority of people going through the courts. The courts are used to sit there, monitor, and regulate. And you're there for a reason. You're there because you could not agree as two adults to come to something that agreement that's reasonable in order to raise your child. So that decision was taken out of your hands and placed into a third party that doesn't really know you, doesn't really have your interest at heart, your individual. They're just looking at your child and trying to make the best decision. So I just want to be clear that we're talking about the courts. We're not talking about the average person not being able to sit down like an adult and have a conversation with their ex or their soon-to-be ex or, you know, that's not what's taking place. And I also went through the court system. I know you say it's a woman's state. I don't think so. I think my experience shows that it depends on who your judge is and who she's sympathetic
True.
To. I just got to the point where the amount of control that I would have to give up, choosing the problems that I was having for a couple of dollars, weren't worth it to me. I just decided that.
Well, when you say control, what do you mean the control you would have to give up for a couple of dollars?
Control, like.
That sounds interesting.
I think
to
with
me.
Women. I think with women, when men give you a couple of dollars, they want to know what you do with it. Child support. Well, you're not doing her hair. You're not doing her nails. You're not doing it. It's like they're monitoring
mm-hmm.
you for the pennies that they give. It's only a percentage. So they're acting like they're giving you everything, and therefore they have a say in everything. And like I said, it is a small percentage. If you take whatever you give, you put it towards, or say they take 10% out of your check for a first child or only child.
17%.
Woman is giving 100%. 17. I'll give you 40.
17%.
Yes.
17% New York
you,
for one kid.
They give you 17%, less than 20%, less than one-fifth of your check to raising your child. How much do you think her check goes towards raising your child? Literally, if it's not 50% or more, I'd be very surprised. Because I know
but
when
wait
it
a
comes
minute.
Down to
okay.
it.
But wait a minute. Hold on. All right. No, I get where you're coming from. But all right. Mm-hmm. Let me swing the ball back over here. So check this out. I used to pay, because of a couple of lies that were told in court, at one point I was paying $1,700 a month in child support.
17%.
No. I said $1,700 a month.
Oh, I heard
in child support. That wasn't 17%. That was, wait a minute. Yes, because like I said, a couple of lies were said. And the judge wound up hitting me with like $10,000 in back child support. I'm like, well, what the hell? Like, I never existed. Wait a minute. Like, wait a minute. Like, I never existed.
There was an amount that wasn't paid. There was
what you mean
that
was paid? Hold on. Well, it wasn't. See, that's the thing. And once again, we're talking about co-parenting. And then when you let the system in, the system stops you from co-parenting, and they make their own decision. So when I had my daughter 3 to 4 times a week, I didn't ask her for money. That was on my dime. But when she goes into court, she tells a different story, which makes it seem like I wasn't doing anything, which a judge just automatically assumes instead of looking at receipts and then tells me, oh, well, none of these receipts say child support, so that's a gift. You see, when you want to try and co-parent and do the right thing, it's hard to do the right thing when somebody is sitting there telling you, well, no matter what you're doing, it's wrong. So you're trying to tell me because I didn't write child support.
And if he says it like that, that's an insolent son of a bitch. You don't want that person being the judge.
Yeah, but it happened. Well, hold on. But wait a minute. But it happened to me. So since it didn't, so all my receipts didn't matter. And listen, let's get this straight here. That's my kid. Do you think I like the fact that I had to keep receipts? When I was told to keep receipts, I felt bad because my child is not a goddamn business. That is my child. But the sad part is when you involve the system, you can no longer co-parent effectively because now you got to look at, you got a nickel and dime every goddamn thing. And it's something that I still do not like doing till this day. I'm back in court because she wants more money for college, and I have to produce receipts. I hate that. But see, once again, this is when you try to be the nice guy, you try to be the good guy, and you get screwed. Because no, I don't want to go in anybody's court. I don't want to have to keep receipts. That's my kid. My kid's not a goddamn, expense. But this is what my hand has been forced. So once again, as I said, I used to pay $1,700 a month. And when I went to go pick up my daughter was looking like Raggedy Ann and her hair wasn't done. So of course I'm going to ask, what the hell is going on with the money? You're not sending her to get her hair done? You're not doing
that? See, that's
hair?
What I'm saying. See, things like that, not to cut you off, but you see that. And see, that's what makes it bad for women like us. That, like I said, I'm not. If this child support money is supposed to be my child, that's what I'm. You know, that's what I'm using for. So as like I said, I don't want you to question me on it. But as long as your child is coming to you or you're coming back to you, and the child is looking a certain way, or I bought clothes, or we've been out somewhere, whatever. So it shouldn't be a question. Of that, but then that's the first thing, because of, I guess, the other experiences that they may have had with other women or with the children, or they have more than one child or whatever, that's the first thing that they go for. What are you doing with the money? Why are you hearing your nails on? Negro, first of all, I look good with or without your child for money. Like, don't even play yourself like that. Don't even do that. So at the end of the day, I kind of get it, but I'm just saying, like, nah.
Just add to what Red's saying, and you're going to make me say something about your situation, but I'm just going to bring this up.
You can say whatever you want to say, homie.
Wait, you mentioned there with back child support, right? There's back child support. During that time where you were arguing over the bills and stuff, she had bills stacking up that weren't paid.
Wait, let me
finish. She
okay.
took that money, that extra money that she got, not the extra money, but the money that was owed her from the past, maybe she's using that to pay the bills, the lights, maybe she's behind on the rent. That's why your little girl can't have her hair done. She can't have her nails done. She has to play catch-up. Time where
no.
you weren't paying consistently. Just
no.
saying, you said back support.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did you miss the part where I said she told a couple of lies in court? She told a couple of lies, and the judge gave her $10,000. Wait, hold on. I also told you that I had receipts, and the judge said because the receipt did not say child support on it, it was all considered a gift, so they weren't counted. So once again, it was just made to seem like I never existed. See, there's a difference.
Hold on. It's not unheard of for parents to give gifts to their kids. It is kind of unheard of for parents to give gifts to their kids and keep receipts. Moms buy gifts all the time. Not sitting there like you.
But
like
men
you
have to keep. When you take us to court, we have to have receipts.
You at that time, you didn't know you were going to court for child support. You were keeping receipts before then, because when you arrived,
No, I wasn't. I wasn't keeping receipts. I started keeping receipts. When she started taking me to court, and a good brother of mine said, "Yo, I've been through this already. Keep your receipts." I didn't know.
You also admitted that there was back support that was due.
No, I told you. No. Once again, she told me. The judge put back child support on me. I told you. Keyword. Listen to the sentence. There was some lies told in court. Everybody heard me say that, right? There was some lies told
yes.
in court. And then next thing you know, she hit me with back child support. I didn't have any back child support. Once again, as I said, I used to have my daughter 3 to 4 times a week. I remember one time we went to court and the judge said, oh, if you have your child 3 to 4 times a week, she should be paying you. And see, the thing with that is, and after that court date, she took some days away from me. See, you try to co-parent, you try to do the right thing, but there's always got to be one person. There always got to be one person. And once again, this goes back to your feelings, your emotions. This has nothing to do with the relationship with me and my child or the co-parenting. It's one parent that's bitter because either they're not getting what they want from the other parent or the other parent has basically moved on and was like, listen, I'm good. You should be too. Somebody's always not
good. Bitter parents. I hear two bitter parents.
Yes, and I didn't,
to be quite honest.
No, who? Me? What was I? What was I could ask you. What could I possibly be bitter about?
I'll listen.
As a man, all I wanted to do was be a father.
That's the one thing.
Wait. That's the one thing. That's one thing some women know.
Not talking about anything dealing with co-parenting. Co-parenting is much more than just a check.
You sure?
You mentioned that you spend time with your daughter.
Are you sure?
It is.
Not all the time, but some women look at it like that.
Sometimes co-parenting with some people is based on a check. Sometimes it's based on a check.
A lot more than just a check. You mentioned 3 to 4 days. But do you understand that it takes 7 days, 24 hours, 365 to raise a child?
Well, guess what? You know what?
If you can break it down and say, I spend 3 days a week with my kid, so I'm a good parent, the person that spends 4 days with her do? What is the parent that's standing there? I'm not calling you a bad parent or anything. I'm just saying.
Oh, I know.
If you deserve that respect, the other person does too, because you're doing your part and they're doing their part too, and maybe y'all don't meet eye to eye. Don't discredit the other parents doing just because guys did not work out.
But wait a minute, hold on. But see that's the thing. Now we went to we had a custody trial, and the question was asked, who dissolved the household? And she said it was her. And the judge asked why. And she said, due to financial reasons. The judge looked at her like she was crazy. Now, you didn't dissolve the household. Now, she's the one that admittedly dissolved the household, and it was, she did. Because at her time, at that point, you know, like I said, she got her badge, and her whole attitude was, oh, you don't make enough money. So she felt I was beneath her, and she decided to move on. Listen, whatever, Kat, you do you. But my thing is, what does this have to do with me being a father to my kids? Like, all that shit that you were talking is personal. So when you're talking about 3 days or 4 days a week, and listen, she took that away from me. I used to be a full-time dad, so she took that away. So who else you think took away the ability to Who else you think took away the ability to properly co-parent? See, that's the whole thing. It does take two, but sometimes, once again, it's usually the mother that makes these decisions.
Let me ask you a question. You want to bring in your personal business. When you went to court.
Sorry, Mr. Joe. Go ahead.
When you went to court for full custody of your daughter, 3 days a week, 4 hours a day, 365 days a year, what reception did you get from family court?
How much what?
What happened at family court when you approached them when you wanted to get order for 7 days a week, 4 hours a day, 365 days a year? When you went in and you put
well,
in
actually,
a petition for that.
No, I didn't put in for full custody. I put in for joint.
Let me finish asking the question. You put in that petition with the court. What happened?
When I put in a petition, nothing. We went, we put in a petition. It went to trial. Because in New York State, the law is different from state to state. In New York State, if both parents do not agree on joint custody, then you have to go to trial. Because it's either or. If you can't agree on it, then it has to go before a judge.
Huh? Say joint custody.
I wasn't seeking full custody. I was seeking joint custody because the whole thing is, what would be the purpose of me seeking full custody? I wasn't trying to take my daughter away from her mother. I wasn't trying to rule. I wanted us to co-parent because obviously she didn't want to co-parent. So maybe the court was going to make her co-parent and me putting in for joint custody. But I found out that the state is no. If you don't agree on it, if a man and woman or whoever don't agree on, if two parents don't agree on it, then it has to go before a judge. That's what I learned. I don't know, and that was back in 2013, 2012. So I don't know if the rules have changed now, but that's what I had to experience and what I had to go through. So I wanted to co-parent, but she just had too many issues with me. Because it had nothing to do with me being a father. It had everything to do with the relationship that me and her didn't have, which should not have anything to do with co-parenting. It should have nothing to do with the kid at all. It shouldn't. Your personal feelings about me or my personal feelings about her never interfered with, listen, that's your mom. You listen to your mom. You do what you got to do with your mom. When you're with me, you're with me. But when you're with your mom, do as your mom said. That's that. So when you talk about that person that tried to control someone else's situation, it was always mine. She didn't like don't put that bitch around my daughter or don't have this bitch around over here. I'm like, hold on. You got dudes around my daughter.
Homeboyfriend.
You got dudes around my daughter, but you sit up there trying to tell me what I got a female around to doing her hair because I don't know how to do hair. You know
she
how many times I got.
See, but that's the person. That's personal stuff.
With your daughter,
yeah.
Depending on how much time you were spending with your daughter, she might have felt like you only see your daughter say twice a week. Why would you bring her around a whole bunch of people when you're supposed to be spending one-on-one quality time with her? I don't really know what your argument is because, like I said, it's subjective. Your part of it. But whatever. I only know your part. I don't know her part. She might have saw it like, you have your daughter 2 days out of the week. Why is she sitting up in another woman's house? Why is, as opposed to...
Terry, I can't have my own house? Damn, son, really? Could give me some credit?
House, if you have your own house, why would you invite a woman over when you have your
maybe
daughter
she
for
got
such a limited time?
Because, first of all, I strive to have my daughter more than 3 times a week. Like I said, there's fathers out there as well as mothers. Because, the coin can flip on either side. But I didn't like being a part-time dad. I was used to seeing my daughter 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when I wasn't at work. So me not having my daughter, it wasn't good for me emotionally or spiritually. So I tried to have my daughter as much as possible. She used to be a cop, so her hours were crazy. But instead of her letting me take my daughter, she would have somebody else watch it. And I felt that was just, bad. Why I can't watch my own kids? You see what I'm saying? So when we want to talk about co-parenting, I'm not trying to point fingers, but there are some women out here who just really like to just use these kids. I'm not saying it's you, but there are women out there that use the court and use the system to their advantage, as to where men can't really use the system like that. And it messes up the dynamics of things. I'll be the first one to tell anybody, family court is not your friend. Because once you let them in, they take over. And sometimes you as the person that may have brought them in won't have any control. Because they're not always fighting for the best interest of the child. The family court is fighting for the best interest of them to stay in business. So this is why we have to have these conversations on co-parenting, because we need to leave family court out of it. And we need to come to some type of common ground and stop being on our personal, emotional bullshit with one another. The relationship didn't work out, so what? Get over it. But the kid does not deserve the bullshit from either one of you. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't have my times where I was feeling like I had to be on my bullshit, especially when you're trying to tell another dude or tell my daughter, oh, you can call him daddy. That's not her father. And I resent the fact that you're trying to replace me. Because I know there are women out there, and once again, I'm not pointing the fingers, because there's asshole dudes that do it too, but there are women out there that will turn around and put the next man in front of the real father's shoes, and the father wants to be in the child's life. I've known too many situations, too many people, too many guys that have went through that. And it's not to take anything away from you, Miss Cherry, because knowing you, like, I know you're good. I know you're a great person. That's not the point. The point is the fact that, okay, just like I can say, yeah, she may be cool, but I dealt with, you know, okay, my kid's mother, you know, has some issues. It's just like I'm sure your son's father has some issues in which, you know, you had to deal with the way you had to deal with it. But, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's experience is different. But at least, just like you tried to co-parent, I tried to co-parent. And we were both dealt with two people who just weren't about co-parenting, especially effectively. They wanted control, and they wanted to control the situation pertaining to you, and she wanted to control the situation pertaining to me, and was using my daughter to do it.
So I'm going to talk about myself. I'm going to say that difference that my son now is in his early 20s. When we first started out trying to co-parent, it was a lot different. I was still kind of, when I left the relationship, I felt like I left it free. There were things that weren't being done. I wasn't bothered with it. I wasn't happy leaving the relationship. I wasn't happy having to argue over money, finances, because the baby needs diapers, the baby needs milk. Grown man, you know that. I know that. Can't you get it together? So at a certain point, started to turn was when I realized that if somebody to be a parent, can't let the other parent control my lifestyle, my son. So when you get to that realization, you don't have to get upset anymore because you know what your role is supposed to be, and you just step up and you do it. And if that other person doesn't want to do their role, that's okay. Move forward. That's why you have I know a lot of our men say that women are bitter and they're angry and, you know, they're anti-men. No, we just got to the point where it's like, look, it comes to our children. If you're involved with someone who does not turn out to be who you thought they were, you have to keep going forward for your kids, and everything else will work out. I'm not here against anybody right now. If my son's father picked up the phone to dealing with my son, I would take the phone call. My son's grown now. I would still take the phone call. If it was something personal, I don't know why you're calling me. That's not what this is about. But and that's something that you learn with time, as you get older, as you get more mature. Just don't focus on the same things that you do when you're young, when it's new, when you're more angry. And angry, she's angry, right in the middle.
Well, I get you. And once again, as the elders used to say, I need to put that on the T-shirt, sometimes it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And I wasn't fond of the fact of trying to be replaced. Of course, we know that's not co-parenting. You know, one thing I noticed when it comes down to co-parenting, there has to be a mutual, you know, line of respect. And if one parent doesn't respect the other, then it's never going to be, it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. Everything is going to be one-sided. It, you know what I'm saying? But for your kid, for your kid's sake, damn it, you may not want to give that other person that respect, but for your kid, you have to, because you're showing them toxic shit.
Yep.
Like, I don't understand some parents that's like, just get this through your goddamn head. The toxic thing that you're doing, just because you don't think it is, it's toxic. Those little smart-ass remarks you say, or you can't see your kid this week. You know, when I was living in Valley Stream, I had to go pick up my kid. She used to live in Fatshawe. That's 40 miles one way. You know how many times I drove 80 miles round trip and came home empty-handed? Because when I got on the phone and said, hey, I'm on my way, she said, sure, no problem. I got all the way out there, and she said, no, you can't take her. Or she didn't answer the door. So I drove all the way back home. And you know what she would tell my daughter? Oh, your dad never came. So, yeah.
Stuff like that, I'm like, that's what I'm saying.
And,
like, stuff like that is just like, once again, that makes it bad for women like us that's not into that game. And then, I get it why, not to cut you off, I get why some, men are, have that thinking that time. But my thing is, if you know me as a person, don't put me in that category. So I kind of get it, but, it's like, don't put me in that category if I'm not that type of person, especially if I know you are the other side of that, in your feelings and all that other stuff. Even though you may be like that, you still allowed to see your kid. I still allowed you to see your kid. You never denied that or anything. That was never, an issue. But once again, like you said, when they do certain things, like I said in the beginning, when you're doing certain things, that's more of a personal thing. That's more of you still are on, worried about me instead of worrying about what your child. That's why I said child support was never for me. Like, that stuff, I don't care about none of that. All I care about is you dealing with your child. Money don't mean nothing to me. Don't worry about trying to impress me with what you had and buying two pieces of this and the other. My thing is, just make it fair. Don't sit up there and tell me, or you going to ask me what we need for, what he needs for school or whatever. And then when I do say, then you're going to, now you want to try to dictate what you're going to buy and what. No, we're not going to do it like that. If you're going to buy it all across the board, because guess what? On my side, I buy it all across the board. I don't pick and choose what I buy. If he needs underwear, he gets underwear, socks, sneakers, everything. But then you want to pick and choose what, like, don't do stuff like that. So that child support thing ain't never been for me, but yeah, I get it.
It doesn't really work. I know it looks like it works in the behalf of the woman, but it doesn't. Tayshia, not even. Let me just make a comment about what you said, how you were having problems driving back and forth. I had that situation too. And I will tell you how I cleared it up. What we arranged was the first time I drove over there, and I guess he had my son, and he was playing games. A little different because I was the custodial parent. Like, ringing the door. He was supposed to be there. We confirmed. I got there. He didn't want to open the door. I picked up the phone. I said, I'm going home. And when you're ready to bring him home, you can, but go to work on Monday. I assume you do too. And I hung up the phone. And 30 minutes later, my son was back at my door. Because he knew I wasn't going to sit there. I wasn't going to get myself high anxiety. I was going to be knocking and ringing. It was like, so once you have child visitation established, if you had child visitation established, and it would have been better if she brought the child to you because you had visitation, and then you agreed to bring your child back. That way, you know that she's there. You're dropping your child off. She's not there and she wants to play games. That's fine. I'll keep my daughter. Get ready. You come get her because I'm not making that second trip, and I'm not sitting outside for hours. Kind of, we resolved it that way, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is different when you're not the custodial parent. There's certain things you have to listen. I've been through it. I've been accused of kidnapping my daughter. I've been accused.
Oh, my God.
like, you know, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, it kind of makes you as a man just want to back away. Like, it's crazy. Like, me and my daughter, like, you know, she just turned 19. It says she's in college. And we've had some of these conversations recently. And she was like, "Dad, I'm glad you fought for me." And I said, "Listen, kid, like, I didn't bring you into this world to just abandon you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm here. I'm your dad. Like, I'm not going anywhere. No one could make me go anywhere. So, listen, sleeping on my cousin's floor, my friend's couch, losing everything, I told her I would do it all over again. But I shouldn't have had to do that because she had a problem with me. See, that whole thing, that domestic exchange, I couldn't win, even with a court order. There was no winning. If I got there and she didn't want to open the door, I called the cops. They filled out some paperwork. We left because they couldn't force her to give me the kids. So, you know what I'm saying? It's listen, once again, there are women out there that know that they have power. There are men out there that know that they don't have power. And there's some men out there that know they can get some power, but they abuse it. My thing is this. I'm not looking for power. I'm just looking to be your dad. That's all I was ever looking for. And the thing is, at her being 19 now, I just look at, and I told her, I said, you know all the bullshit that I went through? Like, you know, and she tells me, like, you know, Mom regrets a lot of things. I said, yeah, I'm sure she does, because there's a lot of things that didn't have to happen. And see, for those people out there, whether you're starting to co-parent or you're thinking about co-parenting, or you're doing it, listen, the kid eventually gets older. The kid eventually smells the bullshit. They're going to see who the toxic parent is. And at that point, they're going to make a choice of either they're going to label you the asshole or they're going to just look at you suspect and deal with you a certain way. Because there's a lot of opportunity and time that was missed out between me and my daughter. And even with her mother being around, there's a lot of BS that went down that just didn't have to. It just didn't. You know what I'm saying? And I don't understand why people get so emotional over these things. Like, yo,
I feel that they still have feelings for the other person. I always feel, not because you have, I always feel that, you know, they still have feelings for the other person. It has to be. My thing is that it has, you have to have still some type of feeling if you get that emotional off of what they do. Once again, if we are co-parenting, that is about your child. It shouldn't be because I say something to you or whatever, or you get this emotional because of just like little things. Like, you shouldn't be getting that emotional off of that.
I was going to say, I think when you get to the point where you have actually moved on, doesn't affect you the same way. At least I know for me.
Mm-hmm.
Does not affect me the same way. I wish my son's father the best, because when he's doing good, then my son's doing good. Thumbs up.
Exactly.
I wish them no harm.
Exactly.
When you get to that point, you want them to succeed. Now, or not, he wants to win Father of the Year. My son's an adult now. He can make that decision. Like you said, when they're little, they're influential, but when they get older and they start to learn what it's like to be an adult and have adult reality, they learn about relationships, they can put it together. It's not a matter of someone turning them against you or who's the better parent or whatever. People have memories of both sides. They will remember things.
Yes, I'm sorry.
You don't have to be threatened. You don't have to be threatened by it. Put in the time. If you know you put in the time, I will appreciate it. You're going to find, I don't know if she's done it yet, but I've had the conversation with my son when he just turns around and is like, now I know. It's not the way that it appeared to be. And you don't even have to say anything. You don't have to. I've never bad-mouthed my son's father. I'm real direct. You ask me a question, I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm not making him a superhero, and I'm not making him a dirtbag.
Right.
This is what happened. You determine where he fits in. And that's something he's going to have to work through. I'm pretty good with my parenting. But I've done.
That also, like, is something that I think of, like, why are you in, Like, what is the competition here? You're parents, okay? They going, kids are going, because they're going, we both get on their nerves. But why is it that you feel you have to be in competition with me? As a parent, like, especially if I'm not doing that to you, or I'm not in no competition with you, so then why do you feel the need that you have to be extra stuff, or you just, like I said, what are you in competition for? Are you doing competition? Like your child is going to love us equally? Huh?
Well, some people don't think that. Because, you know what, some people will think that their kid, like, at one point I kind of felt that way. You know, like, she was in another relationship. She wasn't letting me see my kid. She had my kid around this other dude. And, you know, at one point I started feeling insecure, like my daughter, you know, then when I went to go pick up my daughter after not seeing her, or her not seeing me for like 2 weeks, she would come over and then she's like, oh, I want to go back to mom. I'm like, why? Oh, because so-and-so is there and I want to go hang out with him. And I'm like, wow. Like, that made me feel some type of way. Meanwhile,
absolutely,
she would absolutely be smiling over the fact that she didn't want to stay with me. And I was just, you know, and that wasn't,
but
that wasn't
daughter
cool.
But as a person, so times where you couldn't be with her, friends, you know, my son
was There was times.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, when my son comes home, he was just here last week. He popped in. He flew from Washington. He popped in. And he was like, okay, I'm back in town. Now I want to go see my friends. And I'm like, well, what about me? I haven't seen you in a while. So it's that feeling like, you know, she has, not to be direct, she has a life outside of you. And she's comfortable
with
you.
I'm talking about when she was a child. I'm talking about when she was a child now.
Sometimes, to see you interrupt what she wants to do, whether it's playing with her friend Betty around the corner, or, you know, this week she wanted to go play PlayStation 4 with her friends, or she wanted to get her hair done, and now it's Daddy's week and I got to stop that and I got to go see him. Of course you're going to go over there and be like, well, Daddy, we're watching TV, we're going to the movies, I just want to go home.
But
not rejecting you. Mm-mm. She's saying that already had plans, or there's something I want to do and weren't part of that plan, and I had to change my plans to be with you. It's not a love thing, less or more, whatever. I know you feel bad because you don't see her that much, but from her point of view as a child, it's just you interrupting something she already had plans. We're going on vacation with your boys, and all of a sudden she arrives at your door, Daddy, I want to come visit you this weekend. That same type of feel.
No, it's different. Because it's different when it's different when it's your scheduled weekend and you and the mother discussed that it's your scheduled weekend, but then next thing you know, you get a phone call that Friday after you made sure that you had whatever you had in motion or whatever plans or whatever, and then you find out like, oh, my boyfriend is taking her out. You can get her next weekend. See, that's different. That's a slap in the face, and that's disrespectful. Has nothing to do with her being with her
friends.
Exactly. If it was her with her little friends and stuff like that, I get it. Not a problem. But when you do stuff like, oh, my boyfriend's taking her out. Oh, he's taking her hair. He's doing this. He's doing that. Knowing
that
it's
that
my weekend.
See, that's a purpose.
She did that
to hurt you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I'm like, that petty stuff, that stuff like that, that needs to stop. Like, I know it just doesn't happen to me. It happens to a lot of people. It shouldn't happen.
Fortunately, it sounds like that took place when your daughter was little. Now she's a young woman. So hopefully sometime between happening and now, things have gotten better.
You guys are trying
to work together better of your daughter. But I would only say this. I would say if you take out the financial end of it, about what your role is there, just put co-parenting on financial part out, Then you judge yourself. Am I spending time with her? Do I call her? Do I see how her day is? I know she's away at school. Do I know who her friends are there? What is she interested in doing at school? If you know all those answers, you're going by and you're visiting and you're just building her self-esteem up and stuff like that, then you're doing your role. You're not back at that 2 and 3 year old where you need permission to go pick her up or call her on the phone or whatever. Now it's all about your relationship with her directly.
Now,
you've been able to co-parent and come to that point.
Before Hot Rod jumps on, I will say this. Me and my daughter have a great relationship. There are things that I don't want her to talk to me about that she does talk to Dad about, and I listen. Because if she's comfortable enough to come to me with certain things, then I have to be comfortable and listen. And I have to be understanding and objective in, you know, when I speak to her about the things that she's asking me about. We have a great relationship. I wouldn't treat the greatest relationship. It's beautiful. I think all of that, all the turmoil, you know, has brought us to this point. But we've always had an open line of communication. And my daughter knows that she can talk to me, and I will listen, and vice versa. So it's not to say that, you know, not to disavow her mother, but there's things that she talks to me more than she talks to her mother about. And it's cool, but I do also tell her, like, listen, did you speak to your mother about this? Like, you know, I do include her mother in sometimes because, see, the whole thing is I don't have a problem. I've never had a problem with co-parenting. But I told you, I did have a problem with you trying to erase me as a parent. What's up, Hot Rod?
Oh, well, Brother B, if you need a son to adopt, I'm always available for you to adopt me. Add you to your receipt.
I've always wanted a son.
No, free.
No, what's up?
Listen, I'm cheap, you know. But
Grey Goose.
Hey, oh, that's all I need. About co-parenting, I have a quick story about that, not to change the topic too much, Brother B, but it was about my kids and parenting. And to Miss Cherry, Big Red and Brother B know how much I cry every weekend. My kids are spoiled. They're living the best life right now, you know.
Oh, hell yeah. Listen, I wish I was one of your kids.
Oh,
God damn it, them
right,
kids.
I was your dad.
What?
What is that? I get that all wrong, but you can still adopt me.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Your kids be living.
Well, that's funny. And because of that, because my kids are living the best life right now, to make a very, very long story short, of course, my son is in the third grade. He's going through his bullying times right now, you know, typical, normal bullying. And he got through a couple fights, getting jumped up, you know, the list going on and on. And there was always this one bad kid, you know, or there's always that one bad kid in the class. And I explained to him, I'm like, listen, a lot of people are picking on you because some of these kids are jealous of you because you have a very good life. They see you with mommy and daddy together. We don't know the situation, but you could tell some of these kids have come from broken homes. Maybe they're living with their mommy. Maybe they're living with their daddy by themselves. We don't know the situation overall. But these kids, they see you, daddy, every morning. Make sure you go to school. He's yelling at you. They see you with mommy all the time. Kids get jealous of that. And some kids want that type of relationship with their parents, you know. And sometimes I tell my son, they're going to pick on you on that and not to open your big mouth about you've been to this place or you've seen that place or you've been to that place. Some kids don't have that fortunate to go to these places. Because either the parents are not together or whatever the situation is, we don't know. This, and because of that, they're going to be jealous of that because you have two parents that love you. You go everywhere. You know, you join your life. But some things nobody don't need to know. You know, kids, they're young. They get excited. They tell, you know, the whole world to other kids, you know. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, some kids don't have it like that, you know, and that's a problem. And that's part of co-parenting, you know. Whether the people that hate each other or love each other, that's one of the problems. People don't realize it affects the kid a lot in more ways than one. You know,
Absolutely.
And because of that, my son's getting bullied. My daughter, she's a bullier, so I'm not worried about her. She tells people what to do. But my son who's older, he's going through this process right now. I am blessed right now. He's still a happy kid. And to me, that's all that matters. So he's a happy kid right now. But fortunately, he gets picked on him because he's a happy kid. You know?
Right, yeah.
Right. You know, it's a sad situation, but that is one of the problems of co-parenting. For if a mother or father die at the home, the couple is miserable and they take it out on each other, the little kids, they see that. They see that anger, the frustration, the receipts that brother B keep carrying to court. You know, they can see all that and then milk that in. And you know what? And they might take it out on other kids as well. Their frustration, but they cannot take it on their parents. Because I see mommy upset all the time with daddy, or baby father number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know what? And then go take it out on some other kid. And that's another reason why these bullying going on in this crazy world.
Absolutely. I know, actually, while you're telling your story, it sounds like what one of my siblings is going through with her son. Son is, you know, happy-go-lucky. They're doing pretty well. She's divorced now. And I don't want to say, like, he's naive or oblivious, but he does get into problems because, so he's being raised by a single mom and his dad's role also, is happy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't argue in front of him. Not there to make him feel like he has to choose loyalty.
No.
Kids that are, like you said, they're raised by one parent or the other, and it's like, if I love daddy, that means I hate mommy. That's the way that they translate.
Yes.
Or if I love mommy, that means I hate daddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
Indeed.
And then if they see your child, okay, they're not together, but he's happy. Well, they don't necessarily like that because they can't figure it out. And that really, it's not their place to figure it out. It's the parents' place. Parents' place,
yeah,
to get to a point of maturity. A child is not made to feel that way.
Right.
And you know, to your point, Ms. Cherry, on a personal note, for me, I spent all my life, I'm not saying hating my father, but disliking my father, because since I was young, my parents broke up. Like, to this day, I don't know the true history about my parents. That besides my father being a player, after all, he is what Vinny is, looks like. But besides that, you know, my mother always put in my head that my father was a bum, a loser, you know, all the names in the book. And like, my mother got remarried, but I spent all these years disliking my father. I know I have not met him for at least 12, 13 years. Then when he finally met me, because remember, back then, no social media. It's just a phone book. Without the phone book, you can't contact anybody. But he bumped into a friend of a friend that he got the number from. He tracking me down and, you know, and came over to meet me. And I'm like, what happened? Long story short, my mother basically kept me away from him. Like, basically move out, and then I let him know where I was at. So he had not heard about me for these 12, 15 years. And he spent years searching for me. And here I am about to hate this man for no reason. And now he's like we're like best friends. You know. And
ask
that's
you,
a model
Can I ask you, you said that you met him as an adult or like late teens?
Okay, I like to say I have not met him. The last time I saw him, I met him when I was 5. When I met him again was 17, 18. Years old.
Did you feel like when you met him at that time that I can say that he was brainwashing you, but do you feel like maybe he fed certain things into you to maybe excuse being absentee? Or not necessarily,
maybe.
You know, being fair to your mother, saying, you know, I took you away or I tried really hard, as opposed to him just looking to develop a relationship with you from that point on.
At that point, I really didn't care because I'm the type of person, you know what? What happened in the past is between y'all. I don't care. And the relationship was weird at first because, once again, I haven't met this man since I was 5. So I don't know what's happening. He got remarried, have 2 boys of his own. And I will never forget. My mother told me to ask him for money, you know. And I asked my father for money, you know, because he's my father. Well, the first thing he did, he gave me an application to a job. And I always tell people this story. That's when I gave my father respect. He did not give me money. He gave me a job. So in other words, he taught me responsibility. If you want it, go earn it. And from that point, I worked with my father. And I think that's where I grew my relationship stronger with my father, working with him in the same facility. Was he the pain in the ass? Of course, but, you know. But he never told me how to live my life. And he did not tell me what to do because he was not really there in my life. It was my stepfather. Right. So, like, in a way, he kind of knew boundaries. He gave me advice. But he never told me, like, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And he never talked bad about my mother. He always asked about my mother. Yeah. Is she okay? Take care of my mother, you know, taking my mother, you know. Whatever happened, happened. It's over. Because basically, he moved on with his life. Not my mother. My mother still can't stand to this day. And this is like, what, 75 years ago? It happened? So.
I was going to say, I can relate to that. Like, we made an agreement. Well, at least I felt. I never spoke bad to my son's father. I figured that needed to be revealed, he would find out. And he actually, like your story, got to be 17. He wanted to get to know his father, which had moved to the other side of the U.S. He got it one day, and he said, oh, I want to go move there and get to know him. That's what he did. I didn't like it. I felt kind of like a little bit betrayed. I felt a little bit like, you know, oh, he doesn't appreciate all this time and his effort that I put in and stuff like that. And I was going through that time. I just, you know, once my son moved out there and he, you know, had a hands-off approach, call me if you need me, your ticket, I got a round trip ticket waiting for you, whatever it takes. Out there, and he learned so much in like 4 months. And I could have told him
you telling him didn't mean anything. He had to find out on his own. Just like you said earlier in the episode, there's two sides, there's three sides to it, and the third side is the truth. He didn't want to hear your side anymore. He had to hear it from the other side, and then he had to come to his own analysis. Sometimes when these kids they get to a certain point, it's not about the parents anymore. It's about them. Mm-hmm. Just like my daughter's decision to, you know, be in Miami. Listen, it's about her. I support her. Mm-hmm. Do I like it? No. Mm-hmm. I miss my right hand, but it is what it is. But to kind of springboard off a Hot Rod story, it's sad when there's one person or one parent that seems to think that they can just take the kid away from the other parent and just like, you know what, this is going to be best. Because someone once told me, hey, I may know my mom or my dad as my mom or my dad, but I don't know them as a woman, and I don't know her as a man. And see, that's the thing. We as kids, we don't know our parents like that. And as parents, our kids don't know us like that. That's why it's not their job to even think about that. They don't need to know about our relationship. Yeah. Just the relationship that we have with them. But nowadays we put our kids in the middle of everything. And they know too much and they see too much and they have to deal with too much. It's too much on their plate. You know?
And that leads to mental illness. And that leads to mental illness in the future.
Yeah.
Or depression.
I remember years ago. Years ago, your parents shielded you from things. They told you, go in your room.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Be seen and not heard. Things of that, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Now kids are just sitting right there, front row, eating popcorn, watching mommy and daddy go at it. Middle of the street, middle of the house, everywhere.
Yeah.
They just watching.
Mm-hmm. So as they get older, I think when they're little, they see you as mom and dad, but I think they get older and they start to go through their experiences, they start to see you as human. They start to see you as a male or a woman as opposed to just mom and dad.
I disagree. My daughter sees me as an ATM machine. And then
that's what I'm about to say.
I tell that one.
That's
That's why. The ATM thing is, I mean, that's until you die. But and then they'll come and get the house. But that's not the point. I think they're able to relate more, woman and as a man. They can actually figure out the relationship. And it happens when they're about your daughter's age, my son's age. My son's 22 going on 23. Quick. Take a while.
You have to have adults. You have to treat them as adults. Like, you know, like I said, my sons, I do that with them, you know, even if I had a daughter. You guys are adults. I can't talk to you as if y'all are, you know, like, you know, younger kids. You just, like you said, it's hard for when they get about, you know, let's say about 16, 17 years and you wean them into it. But now, you know, I'm glad that we are able to have the conversations or they can come to me or whatever. But, you know, as we all just said, that's why I tell them, y'all are my sons, but y'all are still men. I'm your mother. I was a woman before I was your mother. So even if I say, you know, even when you discuss things, they say, oh, my, you're talking like a woman. Yeah, that's how you got here. And yes, I'm going to talk like as a woman because that's what I am. And you have to separate that from sometimes. It's not taken away. Like I told my son the other day, me being your mom and you being my son, that's a title. I said, otherwise than that, I'm still a woman and you're still going to be a man. You know, you're growing into a, you know, older man, but you're a man still. So I have to speak to you as such with the, you know, with your boundaries, but I still have to speak to you as such because you're going to think like a man. That's how you're just wired that way.
Well, I'm sorry, guys. I disagree with y'all. I have a West Indian mother, and she's 75, and she still tell me what to do, right? And tell me how to change my tattoos and everything. So I'm sorry about that. Okay.
That's her job.
You know, West Indian mothers.
Does that mean you're not old enough to adopt?
They don't play that.
No, they don't. No, they don't. No. Caribbean parents don't play. That's not at all.
Exactly.
No.
She's 75, still telling me what to do or how to live my life, okay? I can't. I love her, but I can't deal with her, if you know what I mean.
Well, because it's to a point now where at one point you needed them, now they need you more than ever. Because, you know, the times, it's the turning of the tide, and they want to always feel that they're needed. They're always going to want you to depend on them. Like, listen, I told my daughter, no matter how old you get, there are three things that you're always going to be in. My plate of food, my wallet, and my heart. Then as a parent, that's a forever thing. It's never going to change. I told her, you can have a job making $100,000 a year. I'm always going to be like, hey, kids, you got money? Here's a little $20. They're going to take some ice cream or something like that. That's
you want to get some ice cream?
Yeah.
There
you go.
Yeah,
go get some ice cream.
Go get you a cone. You know, but that's as a parent, the job, it never stops. It never stops. That's what it is. And that's why we as adults, mature adults, you know, have to be better. You know, we have to do better. You know, we have to put down our personal, you know, differences and like, hey, listen, we got a kid in common, man. We got to do what's right for the kid, you know, and forget, you know, what we got going on. But some people got a little bit too much ego. Some people got a little bit too much pride. And, you know,
and
it is what it is. Yeah, exactly. Hey, listen, my daughter's 19. My next court date is in June. So, you know, sometimes it just doesn't stop. Yeah.
Doesn't stop at 18?
No. Child support stops in New York. State child support stops at 21.
21.
Really? So I still have a chance with you, brother. Be good. I'm 20 years old. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
You only got a year.
I take it. No problem.
On that note, thank you, Mr. Joe, for calling in. I know you had dropped off. Miss Cherry, Big Red, Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Never kept Hot Rod. The Absolute Truth Gang on Blog Talk Radio. Hot Rod, Sean Black, K-Dog. Monday nights, 10 p.m. Thank you. Beautiful conversation.
Thank you.
Everybody have a blessed night.
Thank you.
Good week. You too. And relax. Get chill on and be safe out there. Hi, Rock.
Hi, guys.
Toast that Grey Goose to me.
Is that right? I'm doing
later.
It right now.
Right. Everybody have
good
a good night.
Later, guys.
Later.
Have a good night,
later.
Guys.
Here, be safe.
All right.